Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday School Hour for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.
Have you guys with us? We are going to continue, going through the Gospel of Mark. Now, this is not going to be your traditional Easter morning service, but that's okay. Those of you who know me, that's probably right about the way that I do things. But I want to set this up with a story. I used to work construction when I was in and out of college. During the summers, I'd work construction. And I remember I think I was about 20 years old, and we were working on a house, and the boss kind of left me, and I was kind of just figuring all this out, and we were trying to put subfloor down. And so the boss said, here's a large caulking gun and a bunch of subfloor adhesive. I want you to basically go around on a ladder, and I want you to put subfloor adhesive on all the tops of the floor joists. I'm going to go get the subfloor, and I'm going to come back, and then we're going to put it down and install it. And it felt like a pretty simple task. He thought that he had given me that and took off. So I get on the ladder and I hop up there and I get the tube and I put the tube in the caulking gun and can't get it. And I was like, man, I don't have a knife on me. And he took the truck and I don't have a knife. I don't know how I can do this. And so I'm looking around for anything to cut. And so I actually took like a nail and I was trying to poke the top and I couldn't do it. And I thought about chewing it, but I decided not to do that. And then a little bit later, he came back after about 15, 20 minutes. He's like, why haven't you done anything? And I was like, well, Mr. Smarty, you didn't leave me the right tools. And he said, yes, I did. I said, you left me a caulk gun. I needed a caulk gun. I needed a knife. And then he said, hey, idiot, go look at the handle of the caulk gun. Hit the next slide. There's a little hole there on the caulk gun there. Now, I was 20 years old. For 20 years, I didn't know that that little thing had a name. It was the spout cutter. True story. How many of you did not know that that was the... Thank you. I thought I was going to be the only person in the room here today. So now you have not, it's like the Swiss Army caulk gun. No, it's not just one. So yeah, you can just stick the tube in there, click, click, and it's ready to go. So I did the click, click, and I said, wow, he thinks he's so smart. And I was kind of humiliated. So I got ready to go, and I said, well, now I need a nail. And he goes, hey, genius, look at the little tip. That's a little stick, so you don't need a nail. It's all there. It's all there. So the point of the message is, the point of the story is, you know, I thought I was stuck in a time of indecision because I thought I hadn't been given enough when actually I had been given more than enough. And we're going to kind of use that theme as we continue in our journey through the Gospel of Mark. Now, again, I was frustrated and I was immobilized. And again, we've been going through as a church, for those of you who haven't been with us, we have methodically been starting going through the entire Gospel of Mark. The Gospel of Mark is the earliest of the Gospels written. It was written by a young man named John Mark. And he has kind of a very interesting past. If you'd like to go online and kind of catch up with us, that'd be great sometime. But basically, let me summarize that the early church kind of met in his mom's house, and he was selected as a protege for Paul and for Barnabas. And on their first missionary journey, there was all this spiritual warfare, and he just took turn and he quit. He absolutely quit during the first missionary journey and took off. And he got, you know, a little bit later, they are going to go for another journey, and there's a fight between Paul and Barnabas about whether they can trust him and whether they can take him with. And finally, Barnabas goes ahead and takes him, and later in his life, he's gone through a process, and now he is reengaged, and he's meeting with Peter, and he's had a close relationship with Peter, and from his conversations with Peter, that's what we have the Gospel of Mark. Okay, so that's where this comes from. And we've been journeying through, and now we are here in chapter 7. And so let's look at chapter 7. We're going to go verses 24 through chapter 8, verse 10. It says, from there he arose and went away to the region of Tyre and Sidon, and he entered a house and did not want anyone to know, yet he could not be hidden. That's kind of interesting right there. But immediately a woman whose little daughter was possessed by an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell down at his feet. Any parents ever think your kids were possessed by demon spirits? Well, that's another sermon for another time. Anyway, now here's where it gets kind of crazy. It says that this woman was a Gentile. Okay, it takes a minute there. It says this woman was a Gentile. Okay, a Syrophoenician by birth, and she begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter. And he said to her, let the children be fed first, for it is not right to take the children's bread and to throw it to dogs. But she answered him, saying, yes, Lord, yet even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. And he said to her, for this statement, you may go your way. The demon has left your daughter. And she went home, and she found the child lying in bed, and the demon gone. Okay, very interesting text here. I mean, it's a kind of a crazy text here. There's some good theology, but let's just continue a little bit further. He says, then he returned to the region of Tyre and went through Sidon to the Sea of Galilee in the region of the Decapolis, and they brought to him a man who was deaf and had a speech impediment, and they begged him to lay his hand on him. And taking him aside from the crowd privately, he put his fingers into his ears, gross, and after spitting, touched his tongue, more gross, and looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, okay, he sighed and said to him, Ephphatha, which means be opened. That is, be opened. And his ears were opened, and his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. And Jesus charged them to tell no one, but the more he charged them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, he has done all things well. He even makes the deaf to hear and the mute to speak. Okay, a lot of scripture here. And you think, what does this have to do with Easter Sunday? I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you. Because this cool stuff, there's some good theology. I mean, first of all, this strange conversation with a Syrophoenician woman. And at first, it's like Jesus telling her, because you're an outsider, you have no access to the goodness and the grace of God. Okay? And so, yes, we certainly know he's affirming the old covenant that God had a chosen people. You know, the children of Israel, he's affirming that old covenant, but then he's coming and he's literally going beyond. And a lot of us, we've only gone part way with God, and we think that there's this great divide. You know, it's that joke where I invite people to church and they say, you've heard me say it 100 times. If I walk in the church, the walls won't fall. The walls almost fell down and you weren't here, so it's not about you. All right? The deal is, that's a story for another time. The deal is, many of us, we think because of our past, we think because of our pedigree, because of whatever issues we may have had, but somehow there's only so far that we can go with our experience with God. And I want to tell you something. If that's you, you are like this little ignorant boy trying to put down subfloor. God has given you more than enough. He's given you more than enough. And so this lady gets it. This Gentile lady says, look, even the dogs, you know, they can get these crumbs from the bread. And he is affirming the posture of faith, that through faith, everybody say faith, we now have access to the grace of God. A huge theological point has just been made. I mean, enormous. This is huge. The outcast, the dog, the demon. No. That through faith, we can have access to the grace of God. And then we have this other one here about how he's doing all these miracles. Okay? And he's letting us know that we can be grafted into the vine. And the story tells us that God has power over distance. And gang, I know a lot of us, I know it's a big thing now to helicopter parent. I understand we live in a rough time. I was alarmed this morning to pick up my phone. You know, I got ready to come in and see that there were church bombings in Sri Lanka. And we have hundreds of Christians going to worship this morning whose life ended. The one praise that I have are those who know the Lord are now in His presence. And that's a glorious thing for them. But it's a horrific event, gang. That's a horrific thing to happen. We see that stuff all around us. And so our world is full of chaos. And I know that we then, our response is somehow we feel like we can protect our kids. But the greatest thing that you can do for your kids is to help working for their eternity. I'm just going to say that now. We spend so much time pouring in to the short, however many years we have on this earth. And we do not, as a society in the United States of America, do enough to help prepare our kids for eternity. And so we really need to be about that, gang. That's just a side thing. So he's healing this deaf person, and he's doing this powerful thing and casting out this demon from a long way away. You can pray for your kiddos, and they can't outrun the prayers of God. But let's go on to this kind of next really crazy thing that happens, and I'm going to stitch these all together. Mark chapter 7, 24. We're at verse 8 now, chapter 8. In those days, when again, the word again, a great crowd had gathered, and they had nothing to eat, he called his disciples to him, and he said to them, I have compassion on the crowd, because they have been with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I sent them away hungry to their homes, they will faint on the way. And some of them have come from far away. And his disciples answered him, how can one feed these people with bread here in this desolate place? Okay, so they were like south of Pearl, and they're looking around for something to eat. They're in a desolate place. Okay, they're looking for something. Now I'm going to have some Calhoun people who are going to leave me bad notes there. That's all right. I love them. I love them in Calhoun. And he asked them, you know, how many loaves do you have? And they said, 7. I might want to say, they said, I have a caulking gun. You getting where I'm going with this now? Okay, he said, and then he directed the crowd to sit down on the ground. He took the 7 loaves, and having given thanks, he broke them and gave them to disciples and set them before the people, and they set them before the crowd, and they had a few small fish, and having blessed them, he said that these also should be set before them, and they ate, and they were satisfied, and they took up the broken pieces left over, 7 baskets full, and there were about 4,000 people, and he sent them away, and immediately he got into the boat with the disciples and went to the district of a really weird word that I'm not going to say here this morning. Okay, Dalmanutha. So the issue is, just a few chapters earlier, Jesus had already fed 5,000. And now, at least 5,000. It said 5,000 men, so more than likely it was closer to 15,000. And now, a few chapters later, he's feeding 4,000. Why? Why is this significant? Here's why. Because a lot of you have had an experience with God and you think that you've used it all up. You know, God did something good for me and now I don't deserve any more. You know, God was good to me here and boy, I've outspent my supply because I'm not that good and I'm not that great. I want you to know this. Everybody here gathered, here's your Easter message. God gives and he keeps on giving and he keeps on giving and he can always outdo himself. He can always outdo himself. We don't exhaust the love of God. We don't exhaust his goodness. He has a never-ending supply. Now, my point is this. We have these three stories together. He casts out a demon. He brings this lady in. He speaks a word from a long way away. He heals a deaf and a mute. And then he turns around and he feeds 4,000. Again, another miracle. So my first point for you today, and I got three of them, is this. God has given signs all around us. God has given signs all around us. In the room today, is there somebody here, and you can look back over your life, let's say in the past 3 to 5 years, and you know that God has done something great for you, I really would like to just see your hand. Okay, so look around. We got some people who've been healed of cancer. We got, oh, my lights are on. Am I shiny? Okay. Yeah, we got people who've been healed of cancer. We got people who've had issues. We have people who've had favor, who've petitioned favor for needing some decisions. And God has done some great things. So God has done things all around us, some for us and some for people near you. Now, let's go on and read what the next verse is. The Pharisees came and began to argue with him, seeking from him a what? Okay, you're missing it. The Pharisees came and began to argue with him, seeking from him a Did I just miss something? What had been happening for the past three chapters? Sign, 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 miracle, miracle, miracle. I got a dance going. Want to join me? All right. He's been doing and doing and doing. And many of us, we do. We just kind of sit around like them. And I love the next verse. Chapter, verse 12 is great. It says, because this is why you know that this is really what Jesus is saying. It says that he sighed. Jesus didn't just sigh. He sighed. Okay, so it wasn't just like, it was like, yeah. It says, he didn't just sigh deeply. He sighed deeply in his spirit. Come on, guys. Really? Really? He goes, truly, I say to you, no sign will be given to this generation. And he left them and got into the boat again and went to the other side. Now, what is he saying here? Here's the point. I'm just going to speak very plainly because I thought about, when this Easter, is coming up, we're talking about the resurrection. I was like, according to our preaching calendar, we got knocked off schedule, and I wanted to just talk about the crucifixion and the resurrection. And the Holy Spirit was like, no, this is the message for these people. So here is what God is trying to tell you. For some of you here today, you are not going to go any farther. You are like me sitting with a cock gun. I know. That's all right, Lucas. So you're like, listen, and what you're wanting to do is you keep asking God for more. And he's like, I have already given you more than enough. For some of us, we're just hidden neutral. And we won't go, God, just let me know you're there. He's done nothing but let you know he's there your entire life. I mean, if we stop and roll back and try to examine, I bet for a lot of us, we're kind of like these Pharisees. I know I am from time to time. And the fact that there are signs all around us. Just like I told my boss, I need a knife, I need a nail. And he said, you already have what you need. And every person in the room here today, I don't care if you're tough as nails and you think you're the toughest guy in the world and you're self-made, whatever. You still need Jesus and you think, well, he's got to prove himself so I know enough. Boy, he's already proven himself. He's already given you more than enough. More than enough. And now the ball is in our court. The audacity of many of us to refuse to commit to God because we say we need more proof. That we need a sign. We don't want a sign. We want our sign. We don't want proof. We want our proof. And there's a reason that normally that doesn't happen. And that's what Jesus said at the end. He said, look, no sign's going to be given because it doesn't matter. What they wanted was to have no faith. Many times when we're asking for a sign, we're not asking for a sign. We're asking God to exempt us from the power of faith. And what I want to show you today is without faith, we are lost. Without faith, we are lost. God's given you enough to place your faith in. And if you want that old covenant, guess what? You will never have your heart cleansed and you'll never have a new spirit placed within you. God offers us adoption through His way, through Jesus Christ. Now, look what happens after this. I mean, as if this story... So my second point is this. God has already given you more than enough. And the story continues, and it almost takes a tragic turn here. So now, they're with the disciples, and there is both says, they had forgotten to bring bread, and they only had one loaf with them in the boat. Okay, so we have the 12 disciples, maybe a few other people. So we're talking about a small group of people to be in a boat. And they had how many loaves of bread? What just happened? 4,000 were fed. A few chapters before that, 5 to 15,000 were fed. And listen to what they're saying. Now they'd forgotten to bring bread, and they had only one loaf with them in the boat. And he, Jesus, cautioned them, saying, "Hey, gang, I know what's about to happen here. I just want to tell you, you if you make me say count to three one more time. He kind of gives them this word. He says, look, watch out. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and even the leaven of Herod. Remember just a few chapters ago how Herod, Jesus, was doing all these miracles and he refused to ascribe them to Jesus. He said, no, it can't be Jesus. It has to be John the Baptist raised from the dead. I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of us and we sit back at the end of crisis and we think, wow, I got myself through this. No, you didn't. God got you through this. There's a lot of things that God has done in your life and you refuse to ascribe to the Lord the praise that is due Him. And He's warning them, hey, you better watch out here. Are you really letting your past events write on the tables of your heart? Look what happens. They began discussing with one another the fact that they had, what? No bread. What are we going to do? What are we going to do, guys? We're going to go hungry. And Jesus, aware of this, said to them, you morons. No, that's in my verse. He said, why are you discussing the fact that you have no bread? And then he kind of turns it back. He says, do you not perceive or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Having eyes, you do not see. And having ears, you do not hear. And you do not remember. When I broke the 5 loaves with the 5,000, how many baskets full and pieces did you take up? And he kind of rolls them back through the fact that you don't need bread, you need me. You keep asking for a sign. I am the sign. And a lot of us, we sit back, we say, I just need to know that there, a virgin conceived and bore a son. Not only did a virgin conceive, this child had greater wisdom than the greatest teachers and scribes of the law. He understood it to a level and authority that no one else had. He did miracle after miracle that were validated. There is more historical, archaeological, and geological evidence to sustain and to confirm the existence of Jesus Christ than Alexander the Great. Do you believe in Alexander the Great? Hello? Well, I don't know now. More than enough. More than enough. So my Easter Sunday question for you is, what are you doing with what God has already given? If you're asking, what has God given me? Let me just quickly, and I mean very, very briefly, roll this back for you. Because it was important. It's important that God would give us a sign. Because He fulfilled prophecy. In the prophecy of old, they told us the plan of God. And here's the plan of God, and it can be wrapped up in one word. Gospel. G-O-S-P-E-L. And we know this, that God created us for relationship with Him. In Genesis chapter 3, God walked with Adam. They had conversation. They had relationship. He didn't have to make mankind, but He chose to. Why? To have an intimate fellowship that He offered. God offers relationship, but He doesn't force it. He offers us relationship with Him. And we know that mankind rejected. How many people in this room had to be taught to disobey? I'm scanning real closely here. Yeah, okay. I didn't have to be taught to disobey. I had to be taught to obey. Yeah, our sin. We sin. Romans 3:23 says that for that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, right? Everyone in this room has sinned, right? Okay? And Romans 6:23 is that the wages of sin is death. In other words, our sin earns death, separation from God. And we as a society, we think that if we do something bad, we do something good and that fixes it. And what the scripture tells us is something different, that sins cannot be removed by good deeds. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22 tells us this, that without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sins. I'm going to say that again. Without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sins. You can do good deeds. You can go help an old lady across the street, and that's wonderful and it's great. That does not somehow make you a Christian. That does not make you a believer. You are a believer in Jesus Christ. You are a Christian through your faith. Your faith, your faith. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 9 says that it is for by grace that we are saved through faith. And this is, it's not by works, it's a gift of God so that no person could boast. Finally, the next thing we see what Jesus did for us, that paying the price for our sin, Jesus died and rose again. Romans 5:8 tells us that God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, while we were still messed up, Christ died for us. And everyone who puts their faith, everyone who trusts in Jesus will be saved. John 3:16. Y'all know it. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whosoever believes in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. There's a reason that's the greatest scripture, I believe, because it has the essence of the gospel. And finally, life with Jesus starts now and lasts forever. That's why we celebrate the resurrection, because Jesus lived the perfect life. He paid the price for our sin, and the reward that He earned, He allows and He gives to us, that we can be justified through the blood of Jesus Christ by faith. Praise God. That's the gospel. Now going on here as we wrap up, let's go on to Matthew chapter 8, verses 22. I'm sorry, Mark 8, 22. And they came to Bethsaida, and some of the people brought to Him a blind man and begged Him to touch him. And He took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the village. And when He had spit in his eyes and laid His hands on him, He asked him, "Do you see anything?" And he looked up and he said, "I see men, but they look like trees walking." Last time that you went to the nursery, did anybody find a walking tree? Right? What's the problem with that? What should trees be doing? Right? They should be planted. There's a problem when there's something that is designed to be planted is walking around. And so as Jesus goes to heal this person, I just want to give this figuratively for you. He prays for him again. Says then he laid his hands on him again. And he opened his eyes and his sight was restored. And he saw everything clearly. My brothers and sisters, as we kind of wrap this all up, I think that there's something in there. And I just want to, again, use figuratively, because God has given us enough that some of us shouldn't be walking around. That's the problem. That's why we are messed up. Psalm 1 says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law does he meditate day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yield its fruit in his season, its leaf does not wither, and all he does he prospers. But the wicked are not so. Like the chaff, the wind drives them away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the day of judgment." Here's my final thought for you today. My final thought, and it's in the form of a question. What are you doing with what God has given? A lot of us are sitting there looking at our caulking gun, and we're saying, "I need more. I need more." And I think, what is the response? You know, for some of us, we're kind of like this man. We're seeing, we need to be planted. We need to be planted. What does it mean to be planted? To sit underneath the teaching of the Lord. And I'm going to tell you this, as I look and I read the news and I see the headlines, I'm telling you, I think the day is fast approaching. And for some of us, and I choose to give this message on Easter Sunday, because I think a lot of times we have people who are kind of like this Gentile lady at the first. They say, "Well, church really isn't for me because I'm not like one of those churchy types of people." Let me give you a little news flash. Neither am I. Okay? You got, we're not talking religion, we're talking this fact. Some people need to get planted. That came out wrong. Some people really do. You need to get planted. You need to get planted. You need to quit wandering around. And if you would allow the Holy Spirit to touch your eyes and see what God has done and how many signs God has put all around you, you'd take the advice of the psalmist in Psalm 1 and be planted by this rivers of water, to sit underneath the counsel of the Lord. The law of the Lord would be your delight. So are you wandering around or are you planted? And for many of us, I believe that this is a great Sunday to say, it's time for a decision. It's time for me to examine and to no longer put off, to no longer kick that can down the street. It's time for us to make a decision to be planted by the one who formed us and has our destiny in His hands. Amen. Can we pray together? And I invite the choir to come on up as we prepare to conclude our service this morning. Let's pray. But Father in heaven, I praise You and I thank You for Your great love for us. And Father, I thank you that you offer to us through faith access to a righteousness that evades us on our own behavior, on our own good deeds. Father, I pray, God, for those in the room today who feel like that Gentile woman, who perhaps we feel that that we don't have the pedigree, that our past or our decision or whatever labels people put upon us somehow cause us to be second-class citizens in your kingdom. Lord, I pray that your grace would help anoint our eyes that we would see clearly. Lord, I pray for those in the room today who are kind of like the Pharisees and kind of like I was, who don't see all that you have done. Lord, today we choose to recognize that you have given us more than enough. And God, we are yours. I pray that you would move on each heart. And Father, the response that would bring you pleasure, which is not us doing something for you, but us accepting who you are and what you have done for us. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you that redemption has been offered to us. I pray that each person who needs to receive would do so now. And I pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's children said, amen.
The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday school offered for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.